From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that will give insights into the various aspects of our Lord's temporal ministry, from His teaching and miracles to His atoning death on the cross and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, A Strong Heart. The text is found in Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait. Wait. Let your waiting be on the Lord. He is worth waiting for. He never disappoints the waiting soul. While waiting, keep up your spirits. Expect a great deliverance and be ready to praise God for it. The promise which should cheer you is in the middle of the verse. He shall strengthen thine heart. This goes at once to the place where you need help. If the heart be sound, all the rest of the system will work well. The heart wants calming and cheering, and both of these will come if it be strengthened. A forceful heart rests and rejoices and throbs force into the whole man. No one else can get at that secret urn of life, the heart, so as to pour strength into it. He alone who made it can make it strong. God is full of strength, and therefore He can impart it to those who need it. Oh, be brave, for the Lord will impart His strength to you, and you shall be calm in tempest and glad in sorrow. He who penned these lines can write as David did, Wait, I say, on the Lord. I do indeed say it. I know by long and deep experience that it is good for me to wait upon the Lord. In the midst of this increasingly secularized and materialistic society, multitudes of men, women, and young people seem to have forgotten that they have immortal souls, and that one day they must stand before a holy God and face the ultimate judgment. Despite every effort to banish the reality of death from the mind, the Word of God declares it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. How can a person be ready for that awful day? Is there a way to face God without fear? The great 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon answered this question in a powerful sermon entitled, Preparing to Meet God. Let the Bible Speak now offers a booklet published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, which contains this vital message under the title, Preparing to Meet God. In addition to the sermon text, the publication contains a brief biographical sketch of Spurgeon's life, as well as a schedule for reading the Bible through in a year, all contained in an attractive, conveniently sized booklet. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of Preparing to Meet God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Christ Taking Galilee by Storm Through the Power of the Holy Spirit. The Savior's message was the kingdom of God, and the method he employed was preaching and teaching. And this remains the principal means of biblical ministry. The preaching must be done in the power of the Spirit, and the subject must be Christ and Him crucified. In contrast to the miracles of Moses, which were of judgment, Christ's miracles were of mercy. They reveal a God of love and grace. Too often, believers tend to be wary of certain types of sinners and fail to demonstrate the love of God to them. Christ showed divine love to the worst specimens of humanity, and so must we. Now Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of Christ Taking Galilee by Storm Through the Power of the Holy Spirit.
Now, Paul had a whole lot of things he could have boasted in. In fact, he says that if there are other people who wanted to pervert the church into boasting of other things. Paul says, look, if they want to boast, I have a lot of things that I could boast about. Of course, he goes on to say the reality is, compared to Christ, they're just a dunghill. That's all. Paul says, they're boasting, but let me tell you what I boast in. I glory in Christ and in His cross, and we preach Christ. You come to the Puritan era in Britain? Why, many people think the Puritans failed in their vision in Britain. Let me tell you, the entire rest of Britain's history, its constitutional monarchy, its parliamentary democracy, its mother of all parliaments, its seedbed of liberty for the world, is traceable directly to what God did through the Puritans. And the great mark of the Puritan revolution in Britain was that the Puritans were preachers. You come to the evangelical awakening. Wesley was a scholar, but Wesley was a preacher. And Whitfield was probably the prince of all preachers, with the possible exception of Spurgeon, the greatest preacher in the English language. You follow the history of the church, its greatest moments have been moments of great preaching. Its greatest movements have been movements of great preaching. And that's by the will of God. Christianity is a preaching religion. That's the mission of the church. Christianity is not a sacramental religion. Oh, it has its sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. But people don't enter the kingdom of God through sacrament. They enter the kingdom of God through the new birth, according to Christ, speaking to Nicodemus. They enter the kingdom of God through faith and repentance. And these things in Scripture are closely linked with the preaching of the Word of God. James tells us in chapter 1, verse 18 of his epistle, that it is through His Word that God has begotten us again. The Scriptures tell us in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, the preaching lies at the heart of the methodology of the church. If Christianity is not a sacramental religion, still less is it a glorified entertainment center or a self-help society. Our calling is to set forth to men the claims of Christ the King and call them to wholehearted submission to His terms of saving grace. Preaching. Churches nowadays will do anything but have preaching. They do it in a variety of ways. There are those who want to make sure the service doesn't run over 1 hour. The same people, of course, would spend half a dozen hours the day before running through the mall or whatever it is they do. But on the Lord's Day, we've got to be home to play golf, or we've got to be home to watch the television, or we've got to be home to do this, we've got to be home to do that. Don't keep us more than an hour in the Lord's Day. And of course, during that hour, occupy as much as you can with as many other things as you can, and keep the preaching brief. Now, I can understand that pained posteriors on hard pews may give you an argument for the preacher to be brief. I can understand that the people in the nursery with crying children who are looking for their mamas may want the preacher to be brief. But God help the church when it loses its appetite for the preaching of His Word. Help it to repent. Men and women, let's get this. The method that God has ordained is the method our Savior employed. It is the method of preaching. We are told of his ministry. And that was a ministry. Matthew tells us of healing, sickness, and disease. As I've said, these were his signs whereby he established his credentials as the Messiah. These mighty miracles of healing, sickness, and disease. Some have referred to the Lord Jesus Christ as the second Moses. I suppose I understand why, but I think it's a misplaced description. The scripture refers to him as our Joshua. He's our greater Joshua. You should mark the difference between the credentials that Moses displayed and the credentials that Christ displayed. Moses came with miracles, but the miracles that Moses came with were miracles of judgment. Miracles that displayed the righteous wrath of God. The miracles with which Christ came were miracles of mercy. One of the most outstanding texts in the New Testament, one that I constantly complain is overlooked by so many Christians because of its proximity to the most famous verse in the Bible. John 3:17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I haven't time to deal in detail with the ministry of Christ. We will take up some of the details as we go on with his life in months to come in the will of God. But in summary fashion, we may say this. His miracles were intended to reveal the loving character of the Lord. Wherever Jesus went, there were people, and needy people at that. People that the world shunned. People that the religious world shunned. But there was none too poor. There was none too despised. There was none too filthy. There was none too diseased. There was none too helpless. The miracles of Christ, as the words of Christ, reveal the God of love, the God of grace. Oh, it is true that no preacher ever preached as much about hell as the Lord Jesus did. Nobody ever warned more seriously and urgently about the wrath of God than the Lord Jesus did. But remember, that was just the backdrop to the greatest exhibition, expression, and explanation of the love of God the world has ever seen or heard. His ministry was a ministry of loving the unlovely. Let me tell you, we can never get beyond that. Now, I want to say something that you may at first not agree with. In fact, you may want to argue it. Well, argue it with yourself, for I'm not here to argue with you about it. But I'm going to make the observation anyway. Bible believers, and I think the more separated, the more fundamental, the more strict they are, the more apt this is to be true. Bible believers note that the ecumenical apostates and the false charismatics and all the host of compromisers that surround us today always have the word love dripping like syrup from their mouth. Of course, they know little or nothing about biblical love. But our reaction all too often tends to be to treat the very word with suspicion. Men and women, if you treat love, and I'm talking of it now in its biblical, if you treat that with suspicion, you treat Almighty God with suspicion, for God is love. You treat the gospel with disdain, for in the gospel God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The ministry of the gospel is a ministry of telling forth the truth. But the ministry of the gospel is the ministry of loving the unlovely. I'll speak for myself, and I think if you're honest, there are many of you who will have to say the same thing. But I confess it before God, and have done many a time. When I see a sodomite, my first reaction is not to love him, to give him the gospel, but to condemn him for the filthy sinner that he is. But was not I a filthy sinner deserving of the same hell? When I see some unwashed, drug-taking, drunken hippie, or whatever the modern equivalent may be, when I see a punk rocker with strange hairstyle and piercings all over the body, I must confess, I may react with shock, surprise, or whatever. But the first thought is rarely the thought of love. What about you? I have a niece whom I led to Christ many years ago. I warned her when I pointed her to Christ to steer clear of the charismatics. She looked at me with wide eyes. She said, you know, for months, she'd been under conviction of sin. She said, for months I have gone here and there, from one church to another, have gone to fundamental churches, this kind of church, that kind of church. The only people who have ever shown any love for my soul, I have found in charismatic churches. In due time, she became and remains to this day a very active participant and leader in a charismatic church. But let me tell you a little about her. Driving along the highway, she sees some Hare Krishna missionaries standing on the median, waiting for traffic to stop to give out their literature. She drives along, wheels her car around and parks it, goes to where they are to give them the gospel. When she and her husband, after many, many years of having nothing, not because they're untalented, they're two of the most brilliant musicians I've ever met, but having nothing through giving their lives in service, after many years when they were finally able to look for a house, they came across this old house that needed work. She said, that's the house for me. Why? Because at that end of the street, this long street in Cleveland, there's a poor black community. At that end of the street, there's a homosexual community. And nobody ever seems to go to either of them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to be in the middle, where I and my family can minister to both. Very easy for us to say this and that about people belonging to charismatic churches. I take it very seriously when somebody tells me they're the only people who have ever shown any love for my soul. The ministry of the gospel is a ministry not only of talking, but of loving. When you and I can't look beyond the color of a man's skin or the color of his hair, or his position in society, or the state of his bank balance, or of his education, And we can't look beyond those things to see a soul that is going to live in God's eternity forever. A soul that needs to be saved. Then we're not worthy of Him whose name we bear, for His name is love.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.